Quick heads up, I do full chart readings at IamAstrologyReadings.com if you want to go deeper. All right, let's get to it.
My life and your life and our life together. No matter what the weather, we gon' shine forever. No matter how clever they try to sever our ties, ties, we bound by the ties that bind. My life or your life and our life together. No matter what the weather, we gon' shine forever. No matter how clever they try to sever our ties, ties, we bound by the ties that bind.
Thank you for joining me for episode number 18.
Mucho amor.
And before we get started, if you live in the Atlanta area, holler at my boy Dave at Road Ready Mobile Detail and Oil Change, where success is the only option. You could reach him at 770-882-5011 or email him at dave84@getready/roadready.com. Or check him out on his brand new website, www.getready/roadready.com. For anyone living in the Louisiana area, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, all my friends down there dealing with this quarantine, stay safe and stay in the house. And a way to stay safe and stay in the house is order a pizza from Pizza Hut. They have a deal going on right now, $9.99 large pizza, up to 3 toppings, delivery or carry out. Tell them Paul from I Am Astrology sent you. With that, let's begin. The first time I heard about Walter Mercado, Mercado, was from my co-host, Claudia.
Yes.
But I never looked into him. They recently had a documentary on Netflix, The Legend of Walter Mercado. It sparked a lot of buzz. I wanted to see what everyone was talking about, so I sat down to watch it. And before I watched it, I looked up his chart, you know, to see who I was looking at. And I looked it up on Astro. Astro had a chart, you know, it was rated AA, so I went with it. You know, they are all trusted site source. Mind you, I didn't know what I was looking at, you know, and I didn't know what to expect. But they say it was a famous astrologer
from the Hispanic community,
and so, you know, I'm thinking astrologer, this a regular old person coming up. So I push play, and wow. That's what I said. That was my first reaction.
Huh? He was very flamboyant.
Well, yeah.
A very flamboyant personality.
Yeah. I'm just talking about the very first scenes. You know, they were showing, and this guy, he had this big ass cape on, and he was twirling around with all his hair, and he looked feminine. And I was like, wait. What the hell's going on here? Right? It shocked me for a quick second when I first saw it. So off top, you know, so the documentary started, and it started talking, and the first red flag for me was when they went to Puerto Rico, started talking about where he was born, mm-hmm. and they flashed up a year, 1932. Mm-hmm. But on the chart for Astro, they have 1931.
Yeah, Wikipedia also has 1932. And I think there's a couple of other websites that talk about him where it comes out of 1932.
Yes.
But then there was also that controversy that came out that supposedly some astrologer pulled up his birth certificate.
Yes. But, you know, and so most people would say, of course, well, we're going to go with the birth certificate, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this wasn't a movie. This was a documentary, right?
Yes.
So you would think the people who were doing the documentary but actually do some research on an astrologer who specializes in birthdays.
I agree 100% with what you just said.
So, you know, the thing started. All right. Now, the chart for on astro.com has him as a...
You have the chart pulled up? You want to share it in the screen?
I have it. They have him as a Taurus rising, sun, a Taurus sun with a Leo moon. Honestly, I can see the Leo. I could, and he has Mars in Leo as well on that, on the astro chart.
In the 1931 chart.
Yes, in the 1931 chart. So, when it comes to the Leo energy, that's really not a red flag right there for me. Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let me play you something real quick. So they go to his hometown, and he starts talking about when he was a little kid. And the first thing they say is this.
When I was a child, I was very shy, insecure. My mother was very overprotective with me, and I was a dreamer. I was always dreaming.
Mm-hmm. Pisces,
duh. Stop right there. Let me ask you something. And be honest with me. Does shy sound like sun in the first house?
No, absolutely not. Unless it's Virgo, I would think.
But it's Taurus.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Tauruses are very...
Fixed sun, fixed earth,
yeah.
Stubborn.
Yeah, they have a presence in the room, I would say.
Put that in the first house.
Sun in the house, I don't think is shy. I think sun in the house will likely shine, no matter what.
That's what I'm thinking. So, that's a red flag for me, right? And then, what else did he say in that statement?
Well, the dreamer. The key word for me that I associated him immediately with Pisces was the dreamer, which I think is, I don't think I would ever put Taurus as a dreamer ever in my entire life. I mean, unless it has like a lot of like Pisces influence.
Well, why are you talking about Pisces? Because the 1932.
Yes.
What's it? We never said when is his birthday. They say his birthday is in 1932.
Right, you're right. So the Wikipedia birthday is March 9th, 1932. And then the one that, you know, that's floating around with the birth certificate after the documentary is April 22nd, 1931.
Yes.
And I just want to add, I actually have
April 25th. You said 25th?
April 22. It's April 25th?
April 25th, 1931.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. I have a trusted source that I actually, that this person, you know, knew Walter Mercado at one point in their life, like, you know, personally. And I asked, you know, do you know if this date, the 1932, is accurate? Because, you know, I spoke about, you know, how there's a birth certificate floating around, whatever. And the person told me that he was very secretive about his birthday. Like, he was kind of like very personal about it. He wouldn't really share that with a lot of people, but that he knew for a fact that the birthday would be that Walter would be turning 88 this year. So it's 2020, you subtract 88, and that would give you 1932.
And that would 1932?
Yeah, that's the 1932.
Oh, okay.
The one that we're the chart that I agree with, that you put up, that you pulled up, when you were like looking through his releasing and all of that.
Yeah,
that's the chart that I agree with, where the sun is in Pisces, Mars is in Pisces, the moon is in Aries in the sixth house.
Yeah, and so I was just bringing that up. So to say the reason we talking about Pisces is because the date that they're saying his birthday is in Pisces. And he just said he was a dreamer as a little kid.
Yeah.
Another thing, when learning astrology, I learned that children are their rising, show more of their rising sign until they get toward teenage, and then the sun sign starts coming out and showing, right? What'd you say?
I've heard that too.
All right. So I take that into account when this part came up.
One day a bird fell in the jar and he was dying. And I took the bird and I began to pray and to giving life to that bird. A neighbor was watching. And I said, you are going to live, little bird. You are going to live. And suddenly the bird started to flap its wing. And I started to get better. And it began to fly. And the lady said, oh, this boy has the grace of God to help and to heal people.
Now, healing. Pisces, yes. I put healing as a water sign. And if you, as the sign, what sign rules death and regeneration?
Scorpio.
And as a kid, a bird died. He brought it back to life. And all of a sudden, people were coming around trying to touch him because he was known as a healer.
Yeah. Or it goes with the Scorpio rising.
Scorpio on the rising side.
Yeah. Oh, I like how you came up with that. I like your interpretation for that.
Thanks.
The bird that died and then he healed it with his arms.
Isn't that Scorpio?
Absolutely.
And what is it? Scorpio is represented by the phoenix, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, now at this point, I'm really kind of questioning what I'm seeing in the chart, right?
I would also add that I think that the Scorpio rising fits because. His sexuality was a very secret topic throughout his entire life as an astrologer. Like, no one ever had it confirmed, you know? That was kind of like that was just something that everyone kind of speculated about what his sexuality was about, which I think is interesting because of the chart that you pulled up, Scorpio rising also deals with, you know, sex, and also, you know, Scorpio on the ascendant tends to be kind of secretive and mysterious, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, Scorpio rules sex and all that.
So I think it would give it even more validity.
So
I know I jumped all the way over to sexuality. You can keep going.
Well, actually, if you want to stay there, hiding something, your sexuality, where would the chart I pulled up? Where would it put his Saturn in?
His Saturn in the fourth in Aquarius. Saturn Aquarius, I guess, can be a little bit like unconventional and more, you know, LGBTQ friendly as a sign.
Speaking of, let me see if I can find that part. Speaking of Aquarius being in Saturn in Aquarius.
Mm-hmm. He used to, in the documentary, he used to, as you know, shows photos. Hopefully most of our listeners have already seen the documentary. But they do show photos. I mean, even like in his later in his later life, you could see him, he would clearly visibly wear makeup, right? Mm-hmm. Which in the Scorpio rising chart, he'd have his son in the fifth house. So, you know, it would, that drama of like how you appear and whatnot. But he would wear makeup, and in his early life, his mom was very approving of him.
I'm glad you said his mom. Hold that thought right there.
Go for it.
Father, and I stay with my mother, playing the piano and reading books. Everything about me was different.
This part right here. Now, you're talking about Saturn in Aquarius, right?
Everything about me was different, yeah. I can identify with that. But...
My mother said, if you are different, go on being different. Don't worry about that. To be different is a gift. To be ordinary is common.
Now, that part right there stood out to me as well.
Yeah, me too.
Being different, if you look at the chart for Astro, that would put his Saturn in a Capricorn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in the ninth house. I kind of could go with the Saturn ninth house issue as far as beliefs and all of that
religion
stuff.
Religion and astrology. Really?
Yeah. But it's not really a Capricorn issue.
Being different, yeah. But, being different, I would say, is an Aquarius issue.
But his different was really, really different.
Eccentric.
In the times that, yeah. And to be feminine-like in that time.
In the 40s, 50s?
In the 40s, 50s, and so all that stuff. And it was shocking and totally different.
Yeah.
Also, going back to the one I did, if you put Saturn and Aquarius in the fourth house, what he did at home was hidden. Different. He didn't share it.
What he did at home? Oh, okay, yeah. So basically, what he did,
sexuality.
Yes. Right. So he didn't share it with the public. He only kind of allowed himself to be whatever sexual, you know, whatever he ascribed to, always at home, basically in his private life.
Also, staying on the home front, being in Puerto Rico, being different like that, he was different in his homeland, fourth house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and not to mention that he's, you know, Puerto Rico, I think it's a part of the United States territory and whatnot, but it's a very, like, Latin Caribbean place, state, you know, it's Latino. It's very populated with, you know, like Spanish speaking people. The culture is a little bit more Caribbean, I would say, and it's a little bit more, it's like gays have been repressed in the United States for a really long time, but in Hispanic communities they're like even more repressed type of thing, you know, so you have to hide it even more.
Yeah. And so another thing, so let me move on. So we he's different in his own land, and then they start about his early life, right?
Mm-hmm.
He talks about going off to school.
University of Puerto Rico, I began dancing classes. I just have a passion for dance.
That part right there.
Pisces, dancing, feet.
Passion for dancing, acting, and stuff like that.
Son in the fifth.
I can make an argument for acting and stuff for Taurus, arts and stuff like that. You know, I can look at the astro chart and be like, yeah, okay, I could see a double Taurus, you know. But if you put that Pisces sun in the fifth house. And what did you say Pisces rule?
Feet. But also keep in mind his Venus is in Taurus in the chart that you pulled up.
Oh,
yeah, Venus in Taurus. In the March 9th, 1932 chart, he, you know, sun in Pisces, Venus in Taurus, which would go very well with him loving art.
And is Venus exalted in Taurus?
No, Venus rules Taurus. It's exalted in Pisces. But there's also a sextile between Venus and Pisces and Taurus and Pisces? It's a sextile, right?
Yeah. So he has a passion for acting, dancing, and all that. That's a fifth house thing. Loving to be on stage and stuff like that. Pisces, acting.
You haven't even mentioned his midheaven is in the 10th in Leo, and it's conjunct his Jupiter, like exactly conjunct his Jupiter at 13 degrees in Leo.
That's why I was saying, you know, people would, if you look at the astro chart, you could say, okay, I could see his Leo moon. But if if you look at his cape, his hair, it's all like royal and Leo. And if you think about it, that was just his public appearance.
Yeah.
10th house, outwardly. You know, the astro chart, Leo would be fourth house. So he would be more of a showman, probably
at home, yeah,
than, you know, out on the world stage, I would say.
I agree with you. I love this chart that you kind of created with your, you know, the right. I think it fits it perfectly. I don't know him, but based on what I've read about him, and, you know, just watching his documentary and watching him when I was younger, all his planets, especially Mars in the fifth, I mean, it's so indicative of him being so, you know, dreamlike, actor-like.
Some of the other things that stood out was, all of a sudden, he had a 30-year career, and then all of a sudden, he was off of TV. And that was pretty much the subject of the show.
Yeah.
Of why he was, the reason he was off from TV. Was you watching him at that time when he...
Well, I'm a lot younger. I started watching when I was 6. When I came to this country from Cuba, he was always in like the 5 o'clock like segment in television. There's this channel called Univision, and it was on religiously. So that was probably one of my first experiences, like watching TV. It would come on and he would speak in Spanish. He would, you know, say the horoscope of the day. Everything that they described in the documentary, it was great. But you would literally...
But I'm asking, do you remember when he just all of a sudden just disappeared?
Yeah, well, not really, because he disappeared when, in like 2006? In 2006, yeah. I was already a little bit more like grown up-ish. I was probably already like in my teenage years, and I didn't really watch, you know, Spanish TV with my parents that much anymore.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. But he aged. He aged in front of the television. Or rather, like, I think he like tried not.
So there's a lot of things that also went on in the episode. Hopefully I'm not ruining it for anybody, but you know, he lost the rights to his name and all that stuff. And if you look at, and I started playing with this chart I made, and I started playing with the transits and stuff like that. And, you know, if you use, if you look at some of the dates, primary dates, and use the timing, you could kind of see, well, you will see how this stuff matched up. I mean, he has Chiron in the seventh, Chiron, the wounded healer, you know, seventh house relationships, you know. So 12th house, our undoing. His 12th house is Libra.
His undoing, you know, his undoing came from a legal matter, basically.
Yes, you know. His bonded relationships, he was bonded. His you look at 8th house, is Gemini, and his siblings' kids was his family.
Yep.
And his assistant.
Yeah.
Some say that wasn't his assistant.
but he was very clear. He really clarified that in the
documentary. Oh, I got a question for you. There was another part in the documentary when the assistant, what's it, you remember his name?
Oh my goodness. Yes, this is his name.
Anyway, the assistant opened up the cabinet drawer, I mean, you know, in the kitchen, and it was full of
vitamins
and all of that stuff.
One in the six.
Which means, there you go. Virgo, sixth house, you know, well, his sixth house is Aries, but moon, air, what's that? Uranus?
Uranus is also in the sixth house, and Mercury is in the sixth house at 0 degrees. But I actually want to say something. I think, you know, the beginning you put on that clip where it says that, you know, that he was like a healer and he would heal with his hand. Moon in the sixth also has a need to heal.
I agree.
Moon in the six could also be a healer, a very, it's a super dignified healer.
I would agree.
Virgo is another sign of healing.
By the way, just to be fair, the astro chart would have Aries on the 12th. Which would be disputes as well. So, you know, just to be fair. But when you start lining up, doing the timing techniques and stuff like that, it's not lining up. Well, it didn't line up for me. Other y'all out there could try it yourself, but you know. Is there something else that kind of stood out to you that you want to speak about
Walter?
On the documentary.
I was surprised to learn about the whole legal dispute. I didn't know about that previously, but it's not so much something that stood out to me, though it does, especially because, you know, it's astrology, and everybody always thinks that astrology, you know, can come with some bad news. But what I can relate to, and what I love the most about what was said about him, is that he never had a negative thing to say, and he always had something positive to say. In all of his episodes or segments on TV or anything that he did with astrology, every time he spoke to a person, you know, or he delivered, you know, his monologues and whatnot, he was very positive in his mental frame.
That stood out to me as well. I like that aspect of him.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, like, I mean, I don't want to say that, you know, I don't also want to like ascribe to denial. You know, like, I understand the negativity exists, you know, in the world, but I do like that he came a lot from like a positive point of view, rather than some astrologers would say, oh, well, you know, this is good, or this is bad, or this is fortunate, or this is, you know, unfortunate. at least that's how it was practiced, you know, in ancient Vedic astrology, it's really how it's practiced. But I don't necessarily like saying this is good or bad. So I'd rather, you know, I really like that. That was the part that I liked the most, that he always had something positive to say. And people love that. That's why he was so loved, I would say.
One other thing that stood out to me was he kind of worked himself to death, sort of.
Going into sex.
Yeah, and Aries, as far as, you know, keep going. By the way, if y'all want to know some of the dates I used for my timing, August 3rd, 1969, his first show. October 3rd, 2006, his last show. June 7th, 1995, the contract was drawn up against him. The contract that he lost his name. He signed the contract on August 4th, 1995. He actually signed his life away. That would be sixth. He became a slave.
Oh, in the sixth house. Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
I also used January, around January 2012. He went to the Cleveland clinic after a heart attack, but he had the heart attack like in December, a few days before he went to the clinic. Also used, those were the main dates. He was Mr. Television Award in 1986. May of 2019, they started celebrating his career. You could check some of the transits that's going on.
Interesting. That's interesting because in May of 2018, Uranus went into Taurus. So it's transiting his seventh.
Yeah. January 12th, he lost the lawsuit against the company that took his name. I said October.
January 12th what?
Actually, January 2012.
Oh, January 2012.
Yeah, January 2012, he lost the lawsuit. 6 years after his last show.
Interesting.
Oh, another thing that stood out to me. I think one of his nieces or somebody in his family said he died twice.
Really?
Yeah. He died. The first time he died was during that heart attack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And the second time he died was,
So he had a near-death experience.
Yeah. Scorpio. You know,
Scorpio, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Death and rebirth, regeneration.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, after watching all that stuff and going, you know, I don't know that much about the Hispanic community, Latino community. Matter of fact, how do y'all like to be addressed?
I guess it really just depends on the person. I usually always say, like, you know, Hispanic. I use that term.
How do you feel about Latino?
Latino, yeah, I like Latino too. Latino, Latina, then X, you know, for not gendering.
So, after watching this, and it led me to have a couple of questions, and hopefully with you being in that community, you could shed some light on it.
All right, here we go. Paul is the question master.
Yeah. So my first question to you
go easy on me, please.
You know, well, you know, you always, Walter was your guy. I never looked him up, and after watching him and watching the story, why did he's kind of your hero? What do you look up to?
I would say basically what I answered earlier, like he was very positive. The fact that he was just it. Like he didn't care about anything about it. You know, he was just himself through and through, always. I think that he maintained the same personality, you know, outside of the camera and, you know, in front of the camera all the time. Like, I think he was very good at that. And he seemed like a very joyous person. He seemed like somebody that really shed a lot of light and positivity everywhere he went. And that, to me, is something that I really look up to, because that's something that I can relate with. Those are the type of people that I want in my life. Those are the type of heroes that I want to have, I would say.
Speaking of relating, when I watched it, my Gator went off. Not saying I have a strong one, but I was like, wait, what's going on? But
you know,
on the documentary, he denied.
Well, let's just start by saying this. For anyone that's watching that's I would say sexuality is very fluid, right? So is gender. Genders also become a fluid thing. But yeah, sexuality is very fluid. And yeah, he never admitted to being gay, even though I think it's interesting, because in the documentary, you know, they have some people that speak about him, commentators and whatnot, and they just kind of, you know, they automatically start talking about him as if he was gay, because that's just what everybody was speculating. But he never admitted. He literally said it. He's like, oh, I have sex with the trees, with the wind, with this guy. Like,
so, with that being said, you mind telling people what you?
Okay, well, I identify as a queer person. You know, obviously somebody that's not straight. I don't really like categories and labels. I never really have. Maybe that's a Saturn and Aquarius thing. I also share the same placement. But I do definitely,
according to my chart.
Yes, according to your chart. But I definitely do identify, you know, with a queer title, I guess.
Okay. Now, with that being said and out the way, how do you think it was for him coming up in your community at that time?
Well,
why do you think he didn't admit it?
Okay. I cannot completely wholeheartedly speak for him, but I can say that, like I said earlier, being gay or just not being a heterosexual in the Hispanic community is a very difficult thing. There's a lot of hush-hush. Religion plays a huge, huge factor in how, you know, Hispanics judge you. The Hispanic community tends to take on a very men are supposed to be kind of like machista, you know, the macho, the typical traditional male figure. You know, you go to work, you do things for your wife, like you take on that typical male role, right? And so for a Hispanic father to know that, you know, his son might be gay, that is a huge abomination. And it's something that's not talked about very openly.
Do you think it's worse for women, I mean men, than women?
I think it might be worse for women than men. I think for men, but this is all around, simply because I think our world lives like on the patriarchal
system. The reason I'm asking, because you said, because you like, oh, my son is not going to be able to do that.
Okay. this is a very tricky topic. Okay. All right. It's looked down on for men a lot, but with women, it's like there's less, I mean, I don't know the statistics for real, but I think that there's less women that will actually, you know, come out to their family as, you know, being gay or whatever in a Hispanic household than, you know, than a guy. Neither are accepted. It's like they both have a hard time being accepted. But the female, especially if the female looks very feminine, like if a woman that looks very feminine says to, you know, in a Hispanic household, I'm a lesbian or I'm gay or I'm bisexual or whatever, it's like, how could that be? You don't look, you're gay. You know, that's like the first thing that they say. You don't look like a boy, or you don't look like you dress like a boy. You look very feminine. So even that is something that is that's a very difficult thing to kind of like, you know, go around.
So you could see why he hid it all his life.
Absolutely, absolutely. Especially what you said. He was born in the 30s, in the 40s, in the 50s. I mean, he was a very, very eccentric person. And back to your original question, that's another reason why I look up to him, because he was so eccentric and he still put on the makeup. He still went out there. He didn't care what anyone said. He was himself through and through. And that to me is very admirable. Very, very, very admirable. But yeah, I know that it was probably very difficult. And even in the documentary, the fact that, you know, like he doesn't address it head on, which I don't know why he doesn't address it head on, but it could be, you know, Scorpio rising. But even him not addressing it head on kind of indicates that it could still be something that, like, towards like his last, you know, his last moments in life, was something hard for him to speak about or something hard for him to even like kind of confront. His nieces say that, you know, everybody always speculated and, you know, they accepted him for who he was. But if you think about it, even in that documentary, which occurred, you know, months before his death, he still could not straightforwardly answer that question.
And his assistant say, wait, they always stayed in the same room and all that stuff.
But his assistant said that they didn't do anything either.
Yeah, they ain't do anything. Switching a little bit, because you spoke on it slightly. Last show, you said when you came here, you had to pick, it's pretty much pick a religion and a party. Mm-hmm. Is Cubans the only island people that have to do this? And why do you have to do that?
Well, no, I said that because, you know, Cuba is a communist country. When I was growing up, it's communist regime, dictatorship. And you can only believe in Fidel Castro. And that's it. You know, you couldn't believe in God. You couldn't practice whatever religion you wanted to practice. You could not practice any religion. There was no political party because Fidel Castro was it. Like that was it. That was your that was the god.
is Puerto Rico under the same thing?
No, I mean Rico's part of the United States. it's a territory.
Hey, I never claim to be, you know.
No, I know you're not. Geographer. I know you're not a geographer, but but you know, I mean, if Puerto Rico is not part of the United States, I mean, I'm not sure what could happen. I know that there's other, I mean, you know, China's a communist country.
How about the islands? Is Cuba the only communist?
Cuba, I think in the islands, Cuba might be the only one. I don't think there's communism in Haiti. I just know that, you know, it's a third world country. DR was under a dictatorship once, Dominican Republic, a very long time ago. Nicaragua has currently been going through some stuff. Venezuela with Maduro and Chavez.
Do those countries look push no religion type stuff?
I can't 100% speak on it because, you know, I'm from there, but they kind of have a similar, I mean, for sure Venezuela has a similar model to Cuba, but because, I mean, Chavez and Castro were very, very good friends, and look at what's happened to Venezuela now. I mean, it's really bad over there right now. The situation is very, very bad. I would say that if they're not right now in terms of religion, then eventually they will be. You know, they might not have that freedom.
Now, the Latino community as a whole, how do you see religion and spirituality within that community?
I would see it as, I mean, I think it's a necessity. I think spirituality is within, religion is without. I think it's necessary to be in tune with your spirituality, with your spirit. And so, you know, I know that in the Hispanic community, religion is a very big thing. And so I don't think that they go hand in hand. I don't think that in order for you, you know, for you to be a spiritual person, you need to walk inside of a temple or a church. Mm-hmm. But I think in those places where it's more oppressed, spirituality and nurturing your spirit, if you even have, you know, the ability to do so, given the circumstances that you're in, I think it's very necessary and probably the only thing to keep someone, you know, sane in a way. Everyone's got to believe in something, right?
Even the atheists who say they don't believe, you actually believe in not believing.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah, even the atheists, they believe in not believing.
Yeah. Speaking of not believing, when I was a kid, I had, you know, a few Latino friends, and I heard of something called Santeria. How you say it? Santeria?
Yeah, Santeria.
What is
Santeria.
That?
Santeria. Santeria is, I am also not an expert on this. This is just, you know, things that I've heard and I've seen, you know, growing up. That's not something that I practice, but I know I do have friends that practice Santeria. Santeria, I believe, comes from, I want to say Nigeria, the Yoruba religion, traditional Ifa. It's basically, you know, worshiping saints, Yemaya, the saints of the ocean, Chango, there's a lot of different saints. And they practice it, you know, doing different things, like such as offerings and, you know, things like that. Prayer, rituals, a lot of ceremonial events.
Is there other things like on that level?
There's also sacrifices. I know that there's different subcategories, I believe, within Santeria. Some people will do sacrifices, you know, animal sacrifices, others will not. There's different levels to it, but yeah, it's a very interesting it's very interesting.
Is there other things like Santeria that they may, your community may be into?
That my community may be into, I'm not sure. I will say that one of the things that is very similar to Santeria is Haitian voodoo. Haitian voodoo.
I'm from New Orleans now, you know.
That's true. Yeah, you are. But voodoo, I mean, if I had to compare Santeria to something, I would compare it to voodoo. It's just a different, voodoo is, they do it differently, you know. They have their own customs, I'm sure. But both of them are very similar in the way that, you know, that it's practiced. I think it's a little bit more occult.
Would you say the Latino community is superstitious? I would.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe in that regard, in the the Santeria regard.
No, I'm just saying in general. I mean, you know, because if you think about astrology.
Yeah.
You know, and he, Walter was big. Speaking of, how does your community look at astrology now? Or how do you see astrology inside you? Are they embracing it? Are they, you know?
I think, yeah, well, definitely. I think a lot, the entire world currently is embracing astrology. There's definitely a wave coming, the new age wave. And I do think a lot more Spanish-speaking people and Hispanic people are embracing astrology. Walter, you know, in my experience, Walter Mercado was one of the few Latino astrologers that I've ever known about. I'd probably say he might have been the only one as I was growing up. And I know, and
I was just about to ask, do you know any?
No, men? Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, through social media on Instagram and stuff like that. But, you know, someone that made it to that, like, you know, stardom, or that was, you know, on a TV talking about astrology in the 90s and in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. I don't know anyone other than Walter that has done that. So he was, mm-hmm. I think he was really a trailblazer, which again goes with his moon in Aries, a trailblazer, a pioneer.
Yeah, there you go. Interesting. How did you feel when you heard that they did a documentary on your guy?
Oh, my guy. Honestly, I will say I had like this moment where I was like, wow, this is really happening. When I started, when I got into astrology, like when astrology was presented again in my life, because I've known about astrology, obviously, you know, like since I was six and I would watch Walter. But I don't remember as a child, you know, how that made me feel. I just remembered, you know, at 22, somebody spoke to me about my sign and I was completely enamored with it and I had to dive in and I loved it, which is in one of your episodes. But I think that when I had astrology come back into my life, a lot of my friends, as I was talking about it, like I would go on and talk and talk and nonstop, a lot of my friends started calling me Walter, you know, because like as like a play on words of like, you know, Walter, like Walter Mercado, you know, they'd be like, oh, you sound like Walter Mercado, you know, nonstop talking about astrology. So that kind of stuck to me. It was one of the ways that Walter was born. And you know, when the documentary was released, to me, it was kind of like this aha moment. It was like, wow, if Walter Mercado could have a documentary, you know, made about him, an astrologer, like, what are the possibilities for me or for any other astrologer in the future? You know, it's one of those things that's like, wow, like astrology, my favorite subject in the world. And there's a documentary about someone on it. You know, it can't get better than that.
How did watching the documentary, you may have had an idea of his homosexuality, but was that confirmation for you?
Some of the comments that he made, you know, were kind of questionable, but I can't.
Do you believe him?
Honestly, I mean, I don't want to.
He said he was a virgin.
He did say he was a virgin. Moon in the six. Virgo is, you know, six house is the Virgo house, virgin.
Good point.
Yes.
Good point. Way to pull that one out.
Yes. But, okay, I don't. Did I believe him? I don't know. And I feel bad saying that I don't know because I technically should. But I'm not sure, you know, and it goes back to that question, like, you know, he was born in such a time where like that was so occult, like being gay was not something that was just so easily done. And so I like to think that maybe perhaps, you know, he had a very difficult time like stating it because of that. But at the same time, I'm no one to say that, like, you know, he wasn't gay or that he was gay, you know. If he says that he wasn't, or if he doesn't want to admit to it or even talk on the subject, then that's on him. I totally respect it. But I thought, you know, I mean, a lot of people have thought, you know, their entire life that he was not 100% heterosexual. I have, you know, family of mine, friends of mine, it's kind of been talked about, you know. It's a Miami topic. There's a lot of parodies and comedy shows where, like, you know, he was kind of made fun of, and it comes out in the documentary.
Interesting. What is the, give me a, what do you want to leave the people with?
Mucho amor.
No, not that. Yeah. But what is your, give me a final thought. Sum it up. Some Walter Mercado up for me from your perspective.
On what? A summary on what? On him, on the documentary?
On him, just, I want, because I don't want the last thing we talk about.
Oh, him, his sexuality?
His sexuality.
Yeah. He inspired.
Because he was more than that. That was just a aspect of
he him. He was more than that. He was an inspiration, and I think he still is. I think he's an inspiration for everyone and anyone that has ever wanted to do something, but that might have been scared to do it because of what other people might think. I think he was an inspiration to those people. I think he inspired everyone to be a beacon of light and someone that could just, you know, shine and have a smile on their face and say a word of kindness and positivity. But more than anything, I think he was very inspiring for anyone that might feel like that they're different, to just accept their differences and just be, you know. It's okay to be different, like his mom said. It's to be different. It's boring to be ordinary sometimes.
It's boring to be ordinary.
It is. It's boring to be ordinary. And you know what? I think Walter really, and with that documentary, I think he really was able to fly his freak flag. And that's one of the things that I like the most. That he flew his freak flag so brilliantly.
As a North Node, as a Aquarius North Node.
You? Not me.
Yeah. Me. No, yeah. Me. Well, you have Saturn in Aquarius.
And Venus and Mars.
Yeah. But I also have Venus conjunct Uranus.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Me, personally. Yes. My chart. Yes. And so that's another reason probably why that statement really resonated with me, and I wrote it down.
Yeah.
I really felt that statement that
his mom said.
Yeah. To be unique is a gift.
To be unique is a gift. And to be able to express that gift, even when everyone is telling you not to, or when they look
unapologetically.
Yes. Yes. Oh, that was beautifully said. Yes.
Any last words, Claudia?
Other than a lot of love.
Yeah.
Well, I really enjoyed this episode. It was was warm, you know, it was close to my heart, and Walter's an inspiration for me, you know. His background I can relate to, his sexuality or lack of I can relate to, his uniqueness I can relate to. So I really enjoyed looking at his chart, I enjoyed the delineation that you came up with, and you know, the chart that you came up with. I really dig it. And yeah, thank you so much to everyone that has tuned in and everyone that keeps tuning in.
Matter of fact, if anybody want to try to pull that chart up, it's March 9th, 1932, 10:22 p.m., Ponce, Puerto Rico. I'd like to thank y'all for joining us for episode number 18.
Mucho, mucho amor.
Also, don't forget my friend Dave at Roll Ready Mobile Detail and Oil Change, where success is the only option. Phone number 770-882-5051. Email dave84@get/roadready.com. And website www.getready/roadready.com. All my peeps in Louisiana, Southern Louisiana, don't forget the $9.99 Pizza Hut special.
Gotta love that pizza.
Hey, you gotta stay safe and away from people in these times. And Louisiana is a hot spot. So
is Miami.
I want to thank y'all again.
Thank you, Paul.
And as I end this the same, know thyself and balance your energy.
Sometimes I think about the shit that I do, people I knew. I think about the chances I blew, what's left to do. Nothing can change this for me, so I gotta get rich and stay away from penalty. Can't you see what kind of man would I be if I thought I could, but couldn't freak this industry? I'd be rough like a frog, crowd you like frog. If rap was the WB, I'd be the frog. Remember, y'all don't really wanna see my temper when I stomp like a Range Rover all up in your center. I enter through the back with a sack, and it's a sad fact that you got to stay strapped in this. But I know how to make y'all act, cause I roll with automatic tactics and stay high like some addicts. It's a fact, it's just the method of my madness. Disrespect, it feels sad. Yo, my life and your life and our life together. No matter what the weather, we gon' shine forever. No matter how clever they try to sever our ties, we bound by the ties that bind. My life for your life and our life together. No matter what the weather, we gon' shine forever. No matter how clever they try to sever our ties, we bound by the ties that bind.
If you like these daily horoscopes and want one personalized for you, same style, 3 minutes, about your chart, you can book a first impression reading at iamastrologyreadings.com for $25 and I'll record it, drop it right here on the feed. Tips is also welcome, even a dollar helps. Full deep dive readings also available. Cash App, Venmo, PayPal, all at iamastrologyreadings. My brother's gotta eat too. I appreciate you in advance.